Chapter 7. In his younger days, Benham had regarded fear as a shameful secret, and as a thing to be got rid of altogether. It seemed to him that to feel fear was to fall short of aristocracy, and in spite of the deep dreads and disgusts that haunted his mind, he set about the business of its subjugation, as if it were a spiritual amputation. But as he emerged from the egotism of adolescence, he came to realize that this was too comprehensive an operation. Everyone feels fear. A near true aristocrat is not one who has eliminated, but one who controls or ignores it. Brave men are men who do things when they are afraid to do them, just as Nelson, even when he was seasick, and he was frequently seasick, was still master of the sea. Benham developed two leading ideas about fear, one that it is worse at the first onset, and far worse than any real experience, and the other that fear is essentially a social instinct. He set himself upon these lines to study what can we call it? The taming of fear, the nature, care, and management of fear. Fear is very like pain in this, that it is a deterrent thing. It is superficial. Just as a man's skin is infinitely more sensitive than anything inside once you have forced yourself, or have been forced through the outward fear into vivid action or experience, you feel very little. The worst moment is before things happen. Roe, the African sportsman, told me that he had seen cowardice often enough in the presence of lions, but he had never seen anyone actually charged by a lion who did not behave well. I have heard the same thing of many sorts of dangers. I began to suspect this first in the case of falling or jumping down. Giddiness may be an almost intolerable torture, and falling nothing of the sort. I once saw the face of an old man who had flung himself out of a high window in Rome, and who had been killed instantly on the pavement. It was not simply a serene face, it was glad, exalted. I suspect that when we have broken the shell of fear, falling may be delightful. Jumping down is, after all, only a steeper tobogganing, and tobogganing a milder jumping down. Always I used to funk at the top of the crest a run. I suffered sometimes almost intolerably. I found it almost impossible to get away. The first 10 yards was like being slashed open with a sharp sword. But afterwards there was nothing but joyful thrills. All instinct, too, fought against me when I tried high diving. I managed it, and began to like it. I had to give it up, because of my ears, but not until I had established the habit of stepping through that moment of disinclination. I was Challoner's passenger, when he was killed at Sheerness. That was a queer, unexpected experience. You may have supposed it an agony of terror, but indeed there was no fear in it at all. At any rate, I do not remember a moment of fear. It has gone clean out of my memory, if ever it was there. We were swimming high and fast, 3,000 feet or so, in a clear, sweet air over the town of Sheerness. The river, with a string of battleships, was far away to the west of us, and the endless gray-blue flats of the Thames to the north. The sun was low behind a bank of cloud. I was watching a motor car, which seemed to be crawling slowly enough, though, no doubt, it was making a respectable pace, between two hedges down below. It is extraordinary how slowly everything seems to be going, when one sees it from such an height. Then the left wing of the monoplane came up like a door that slams, some wires whistled past my head, and one whipped off my helmet, and then, with the seat slipping away from me, down we went. I snatched unavailingly for the helmet, and then gripped the sides. It was like dropping in a boat suddenly into the trough of a wave and going on dropping. We were both strapped, and I got my feet against the side, and clung to the locked second wheel. The sensation was as though something like an intermittent electric current was pouring through me. It's a ridiculous image to use, I can't justify it, but it was as if I was having cold blue light squirted through every pore of my being. There was an astonishment, a feeling of confirmation. Of course these things do happen sometimes, apostrophe I told myself. I don't remember that Challoner looked round or said anything at all. I am not sure that I looked at him. There seemed to be a long interval of intensely excited curiosity, and I remember thinking, Lord, but we shall come a smash in a minute. Far ahead I saw the gray sheds of East Church and people strolling about apparently unaware of our disaster. There was a sudden silence as Challoner stopped the engine, but the point I want to insist upon is that I did not feel afraid. I was simply enormously, terribly interested. There came a tremendous jolt and a lunge, and we were both tipped forward, so that we were hanging forehead down by our straps, and it looked as if the sheds were in the sky. Then I saw nothing but sky. Then came another vast swerve, and we were falling sideways. Sideways, I was altogether out of breath and physically astonished, and I remember noting quite intelligently as we hit the ground, how the green grass had an effect of pouring out in every direction from below us. Then I remember a jerk and a feeling that I was flying up again. I was astonished by a tremendous popping fabric, wires, everything seemed going pop, 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 like a machine gun, and then came a flash of intense pain as my arm crumpled up. It was quite impersonal pain. As impersonal as seeing intense color. Splinters. I remember the word came into my head instantly. I remember that very definitely. I thought, I suppose, my arm was in splinters. Or perhaps of the scraps and ends of rods and wires flying about us. It is curious, that while I remember the word I cannot recall the idea. When I became conscious again, the chief thing present in my mind was that all those fellows round were young soldiers who wouldn't at all understand bad behavior. My arm was orchestral, but still far from being real suffering in me. Also I wanted to know what Challoner had got. They wouldn't understand my questions, and then I twisted round and saw from the negligent way his feet came out from under the engine, that he must be dead. And dark red stains with bright red froth, of course. There again the chief feeling was a sense of oddity. I wasn't sorry for him any more than I was for myself. It seemed to me that it was all right with us both, remarkable, vivid, but all right. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.